counting down by position group, getting closer to the draft. It's quarterback week here on DenverBroncos.com. That can always be a whole lot of fun with Andrew and Phil. I'm Chris. Time for top of the class. In this year's group, Phil, it kind of seems like there's two at the top, and then it gets a little muddled.
Yeah, kind of a unique year this year where there's two guys, obviously Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, who are in a completely different class than the rest of the quarterback group there. And the order in which those two are going to get selected, that could be changing every day as they start to meet with teams one-on-one. And Marcus Mariota has had his pro day, and on Monday we learned that Jameis Winston reportedly won't even be at the draft. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out, but those two clearly ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, Winston and Mariota expected to go 1-2 for the QBs, but there are some others that can play too. Here they are. Let's meet them. Andrew, we start with a local product, Garrett Grayson, who a hamstring injury prevented him from doing anything at the combine. He knew he wanted to play in the NFL when he was four. He knew he could play in the NFL when he came back to beat Washington State down 15 to win that bowl game. He can throw.
He can throw. He's got, you know, all the raw tools that you want, but the hamstring also kept him from working out his pro day earlier this month in Fort Collins. I don't think that's going to affect him because, you know, once you get past this period, he's going to have another workout later this month, and I think he's going to get to show what he can do. But really, the question on Garrett Grayson is, what is his ceiling? Is his ceiling as high as some of the other quarterbacks in this class, particularly he's part of that cluster of three guys that follow the top two, and where is he going to fall?
Quarterbacks by nature are leaders. Here's Grayson explaining how he leads.
Yeah, I'm a guy, you know, I love to lead by example, doing the right thing. I haven't always been the most vocal guy. It's something I had to learn from Coach Mack, ways to go about that different ways. But I've always been a guy that tries to lead by example, work hard, do the right things. You know, as cliche as it sounds, first guy in, last guy to leave. I always kind of tried to be that guy for my team, so.
Next is UCLA's Brett Hundley, shoulder and elbow injuries. More injuries kept him out of the Senior Bowl. And Andrew, he's motivated by the fact that draft analysts say there are two good prospects and then everyone else. He does seem very mature, as if he can kind of overcome that speculation that's out in the public.
Yeah, and I think he really has a chip on his shoulder because of his status. If you rewind back about a year, people were talking about Brett Hundley being maybe the first quarterback off the board, maybe even the first overall pick in the draft, and his stock slipped a bit. I think he's been lost a bit in the shadow of Marcus Mariota, especially being out there in the Pac-12. But he's got a lot of tools, and I think he's going to start for somebody pretty quick.
I know he's a guy that you like. Here's Hundley from the Combine responding to scouts who say he isn't patient in the pocket.
If the time needs be where, you know, I need us in the pocket and make all the throws, then I will do that. In our offense, you know, sometimes the situation dictated where if I didn't see something, I'm taking off running. But, you know, if that is the offense, if that is what I need to do, and you can watch tape, you know, there's times where I sat in the pocket, I made throws, and I feel like I did that consistently throughout college.
Next up is Baylor's Bryce Petty, who said the Senior Bowl for him was huge, Andrew, because at Baylor he played in the signal system. At the Senior Bowl was literally the first time he experienced making play calls. It's unbelievable.
First time he'd really had the play call experience, and also his first extensive experience working under center. He's compared that to going from writing in print to learning in cursive. I think he's trying to downplay it a little bit. What I saw from him at the Senior Bowl, especially in terms of the under center part, was a guy he got a lot better. He lost a bunch of snaps the first day of practice. By the end of the week, he'd really clean that up. And if he can learn and he can adapt that way, I think then teams are going to find that he may have the highest ceiling of those three guys beyond the top two. But it's just going to take him some time. And if they invest a year or two in Bryce Petty, they might find a Pro Bowl quarterback.
If there aren't a lot of snaps on film of Petty taking snaps under center, hard for scouts to project. But for him, he said that doesn't matter.
Honestly, it's got to be hard for him to diagnose and project anybody, really, because anything can happen. So, you know, for me, you know, the best way I can say that is you're going to get a guy that's passionate about football, loves football, loves to learn, absorb, and I think that's what is hard to find on paper. You know, you really got to just get in there and be with them and talk X's and O's with them.
Okay, that's the everyone else. Now time for the top two. Oregon's Marcus Mariota, Andrew, working on talking in the huddle and articulating plays, something he hasn't done since high school, and he admits that with making 5 and 7 step drops will be the two toughest things he has to do as he makes this jump.
Yes, but he doesn't have to do that as often as he would have had to in a past era of pro football. The game is changing a bit. It's coming around to guys like Mariota who have that skill set and also, you know, don't have that experience working under center. If he's in the right scheme, he shouldn't have to change much of what he did at Oregon.
When you try and project draft picks, it's really easy to make comparisons. A lot of people do. Here's Mariota talking about how he's not concerned about the early career up and downs of quarterbacks he's compared to, guys like RG3 and Colin Kaepernick.
For me, I don't really compare myself to other players. I really just try to make myself the best player that I can be, and you really limit yourself if you compare yourself to others. So that's something that I was taught at a young age. So for me, I just really focus on myself and make sure that I can be the best player that I can be.
And we finish with Florida State's Jameis Winston, who will likely be the number one overall pick, but you never know what can happen. Andrew, for him right now, it's the first real football offseason where he can focus only on football, not worried about baseball. And as far as everything that's happened off the field, he knows that it's time to earn trust from teams who might take a risk on him.
He started trying to earn that trust at the combine, apparently very impressive in interviews and also very impressive in his mental capacity. There's the Steve Mariucci of NFL Network talking about how quickly he was able to grasp concepts and relay them back. So that's a positive, you know, to the point where some were comparing him with Peyton Manning, which I think is a little bit of a reach, because the thing that Manning had was the rapacious capacity for studying the game. We're not sure about that with Jameis Winston just yet, because like you said, he's never really had an off season because he spent it trying to become a relief pitcher. He pitched at Florida State and really is a major league caliber prospect if he had gone that route. So what's he going to do now with a whole year to focus on football? If he can channel that, then yes, he is the best quarterback prospect in this draft. The other concern I have about him, when he had one interception, often one or two more followed. They came in clusters, and he's got to learn to forget it when he has a bad throw.
Yeah, and he knows when you are a quarterback of a franchise, you're often the face of that franchise. And again, to get back to whether he can be that guy, it all comes down to trust and if he can earn that from a team.
My actions. You know, I got to do everything by my actions, and it's not time to explain about what I'm going to do. But when I do get to a city and to a team, you know, I plan on getting involved in the community and, you know, and create an image, a positive image, and put everything else behind me.
That's top of the class, and with every single position leading up to the draft, we will look at 5 players. But this week we're going to look at one additional one because Phil's got a little special place in his heart for a certain player.
Maybe a little bit of a special place, but yeah. Oregon State's Sean Mannion, who has kind of moved up the draft board here, might be the third best prospect now after his pro day last week. People are saying he played that he has a head for the game. He played in a pro-style offense, took snaps from under center, and can make all the throws on the field. So definitely a guy some teams might like, but he also has some of his weaknesses too.
Throwing against air, which you talked about before we started shooting, not a big problem. And Oregon State is important to you because?
I used to cover them.
There you go. So top of the class this week is 6 projects. For Phil, for Andrew, I'm Chris. Thanks for watching. Plenty more QB lead-up content on DenverBroncos.com.